Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak location. How's everybody doing this morning? You doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the pastor here at the White Oak location of Bridge City Church, and so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name. There's literally no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all doing exactly that. Before we continue our series entitled Jesus Changes Everything, I just want to thank everybody that makes Sunday mornings happen. Our worship team, week in and week out, for leading us into the presence of God. They're phenomenal. The production team that makes sure that the worship team sounds really good as they are leading them. And they try to make me sound good, too. So thank you to our production team and our ushers that just create such an environment of excellence and protection. And we're so thankful for them. And our welcome team that welcomes you into this place so that you could go right into the cafe and meet our cafe team who prepares the coffee for you. Can we clap for the coffee? I mean, that's holy. Janelle, thank you for always serving in there with such a joyful heart. And thank you to our Bridge City Kids team that are caring for the children right now and helping them move forward in their faith. It's something every week I get to see the joy on my son's face when he comes downstairs after being in that environment over and over again. And our Bridge City 101 team right now is helping people take their next steps. There's just so many people. And the connection point for helping people get connected to the vision of the church. If I missed your team, we're all the same team, so you're lumped in there. But I'm just so thankful for each and every one of you because you're serving because Jesus changed everything in your life. And now you're being an example of how He can change everything in our lives. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about today. And it's encouragement from the letters that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi. And we get to see right off the bat in Philippians 4, verse 1, what Paul's starting to set up here. And we're going to read verse 1 right now in Philippians 4. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters," that covers all of you. Okay, you're all in there. Brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. You know, Paul's writing this letter, and we have talked about where he is. He's in jail, and he's not just there for a traffic ticket that didn't get paid. He's there for spreading the gospel. He's there waiting to be put to death. And he's reminding not only the church of Philippi, but the church of Bridge City to stay true to the Lord in everything that we do. In everything that we do. And he reminds us that there's love amongst us, that we care for each other. We long to see each other. Sundays are my favorite day of the week next to my connection group night. I love connection group. I long to see those guys. And as we stay true to the Lord, that's something that comes out of us. Paul's reminding us, "Dear friends, for you are my joy and you're the crown that I will receive for my work." His perspective is so accurate. He knows that the joy of his life is because of the people that have surrounded him and are encouraging him and are empowering him. The joy of his life has nothing to do with his circumstances, but everything to do with who God is. So I have a question for you this morning. And listen, you don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to shout out your answer. But my question is, are you content? Are you content? So many people will say, "Yes, I'm content. Yes, I'm joyful where I'm at." But the truth is that I'm not talking about contentment just for a season. I'm not talking about contentment just for a day or just for whatever you're going through right now. I'm talking about contentment forever. Not just because things are going right, not just because you got that good diagnosis or you got that promotion. I'm not talking about contentment when things are going well. I'm talking about contentment in every situation, because the truth is that most people are not. So before we jump into the remainder of Philippians 4, I just want to pray. I want to pray for all of us that we would hear him this morning. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your love and for your grace. We thank you for sending your son. Lord, we thank you for who Jesus is and who we get to be because of him. And Lord, I pray that right now you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Speak to us just as you spoke through the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, Lord. God, stir our souls and shape our lives, God. Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's jump in to Philippians 4, verse 4. But before we do, I just want to go back a little bit. Because I really want to set the tone for this question. I really want you to have this question going through your mind for the entirety of our time today, because our world around us wants us to not be content at all. We live in a world that tells us that contentment is always just one thing away, one step away. If we could just get a little bit more money, if we could just get a better job or finally get that promotion, or if we could just have a better house, a bigger house, the house we've always wanted, or if we could just continue enough and fight through enough just so we could get to the next season of life. The next season's going to be okay. Rachel and I will be celebrating 16 years of marriage this July, and she didn't fully know what she was getting into when we got married, but she kind of knew. And I remember a few weeks after I got ordained and became the pastor here at the White Oak location, Rachel looked at me, she's like, I think next week's going to be a little slower. Maybe next week we'll get a day or two. Maybe next week will be a break. She's been saying that for 16 years. Babe, I'm going to tell you again. Next week is going to be so exciting and overjoyful, and it's going to be amazing. This week coming up is going to be a week that fills us, our house up with joy. Rachel's preaching next Sunday. Yeah. Not once, not twice. She's preaching three times. She's tried to convince me that can she just do one, and I'll do the rest. I said, no, babe, I got the other 52 weeks of the year, so pray for Rachel this week. Everything she's going to teach about, she has to live, and she's lived it, and she's living it even more. She's on the roller coaster of preaching right now. She got nothing. Last week, she had so much. Then she got nothing. And tomorrow, she's going to have too much. And then Tuesday morning, she's going to wake up. She's not going to have anything. It's what God does. It really it is. It's what he does. And whenever we realize that the things in our life don't bring contentment, but only one thing does, and I'll get to that in a moment. You already know. It's Jesus. He put it up there real quick. It was there. It's Jesus that does that. John D. Rockefeller had a quote whenever somebody asked him, if you don't know who Rockefeller is, billionaire, right? One person asked him, when will enough be enough? And he said to them, just a little more. Just a little more. The world around us wants us to think that that's something, or that more money, or that bigger job, bigger house, whatever it is, better car, that that's going to fulfill us, and it's not. Our contentment is found in one thing and one thing only, and it's not even a thing, it's a someone. It's Jesus. Like you knew. It's back there. That's where we find it. Contentment's not found in something. But here's the thing. We're going to talk a lot today about contentment and complacency. Why? Because they're cousins. They live really close to each other. And sometimes complacency will try to get you to think you're content, but you're not. Before we jump in fully to Philippians 4, we need to make an important distinction here, because contentment and complacency can look very similar, but they are not the same. So what is contentment? Contentment is a peaceful trust in God no matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on around you. What's an example of that? Paul, Philippians 4, writing this from prison. All circumstances. Complacency is a passive indifference that resists growth. whenever we become complacent, we get to a point where we say, I don't care anymore. I don't care. I'm stuck. Contentment tells us that God is enough, that God is more than enough, that he will always be there, he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. And Philippians 4 pushes us, pulls us, calls us not to complacency, but to true Christ-centered contentment. Let's read. Always be full of the joy in the Lord. The first thing that Paul does in verse 4 is he gives us a command of what to do. Always be full of the joy of the Lord. Not just sometimes, not just when it's easy, not just when things are going well, not just when your bank account tells you that everything's okay, not whenever you're able to contribute to retirement. No, always be full of the joy of the Lord. When there's a diagnosis or there's not a diagnosis, when there's an up, a down, or something in the middle, always. And then he wants to tell us again what we're supposed to do during those times. Rejoice. Why are you rejoicing? Because of everything that you've received in him. And we do this not just so that ourselves could be good, but it says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Let your joy affect other people. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we could even understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. This peace that's being promised to us in these verses is one of my favorite promises in the Bible, because I've seen some people that are going through some really horrible times in their life and they have peace and they don't understand it. That's a promise from God. I've seen some people that are walking through some pretty nasty diagnoses. I knew I'd get there. I just need to talk it out. But they still have joy. And they don't understand why, because the circumstances around them tell them that they shouldn't. Paul is reminding us that we get to walk in joy no matter what. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Now, let's be honest, because I love honesty in church. That is not our nature. That is not what we naturally default to. We don't default to joy all the time. We don't default to peace. We don't default to our attitudes being something that help people see the love of Christ. That's not our default. When life gets hard, our first instinct is not joy. It's worry. Always. But we're told what to do. We have a playbook. But no, we still worry. And what do we get worried about? What do we get anxious about? Our relationships. And I'm not just talking about your marriage or your dating relationship. I'm talking about all relationships. We get anxious about them. We get nervous about them. We worry about them. Did I say something wrong? Why did they say that wrong thing to me? Why didn't somebody say hi to me this morning? We get anxious and worried about all of the things that have anything to do with relationships. Here we go. Let's talk about finances. How many of you have ever worried about your finances? Has worry or anxiety ever changed your situation? No. But we default to that. How about this? Your health. Whether it's a diagnosis that you've received or diagnosis. See, what? How do you say it? Diagnosis is C. C. They see. Hola. ¿Cómo estás? Me llamo Nick. See, everyone's from the DR, and every time he calls me, I say that. That's how we answer the phone. How about this one? Your future. What am I going to be? What am I going to amount to? What am I going to measure up? These are real things. Real things that we are anxious about and worried about and concerned about. But we're told what to do. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and give your concerns to God. That's not our default. When we talk about that, that is not us falling into passivity. That is us allowing for our faith to be in action. Contentment doesn't ignore problems. It brings them to God. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard is so unbelievably powerful. Whenever we give our worries, our concerns, our anxiety to God, he says that he will guard our hearts and our mind. And that word guard literally means like a soldier. Imagine that. When we do what God's telling us to do and we follow him the way he's telling us to follow him, he will protect our minds, our heart, our lives like a soldier protecting what he's ordered to protect. But that's not our default to walk in that. It's not. Contentment engages God in every single situation. What does complacency do? Complacency checks out and gets us to say, it is what it is. It's okay. I'll make it through. Complacency and the is what it is mentality is literally what I call the spirit of Eeyore. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, Pooh.
Eeyore, you okay? You seem down.
Oh, it's another day. I woke up, Pooh. It's my tail. It'll do.
Right? That's what we think. You're looking around. You think, you know some Eeyores in this room. It's something we get stuck in constantly. So how do we walk this out? First, we have to ask ourselves another question. Are we carrying stuff we're not called to carry, or are we surrendering it to God? You have to answer that. I can't answer that for you. But I can tell you that Paul continues to give us some marching orders. On how to adjust our mind. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Paul continues to tell us what to focus on, what to fix our mind on. What is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. What brings honor to God? To focus on these things. But we don't focus on those things all the time. We focus on the things of the world that are trying to draw us away from a life of contentment and fall into a life of complacency. How do we do this? Every single day. Think about your Instagram feed. Is everything on there admirable and honorable? Is everything on there lovely? Is everything on there things that bring you joy? Or are they things that they call you to compare and get stuck? I don't have TikTok, but on TikTok, what's it called? Your page? That they give you stuff for you page, the for you. Is your for you page all noble stuff, all admirable stuff, all lovely stuff, all joyful stuff, all things that push you closer to God? Or is it things that will cause your mind to drift? Listen, I'm in the same boat. I know that I believe that every puppy that's on my Instagram algorithm, every bike, every plumbing video, every tool, all those things, they're all very noble. But they distract me. Paul's telling us that contentment starts in our mind. And he's also telling us that you don't just drift into a life of peace. You do not. It's not something that just happens by accident, because if you're not intentional, your mind will default to what it's always going to default to, because you have a flesh. It'll default to negativity. It'll default to the spirit of comparison. It'll default to fear. It will default to regret. If I can only change what happened. That's what your mind will default to. But all those things that I just mentioned will rob you of your joy every single time. Every time. Paul says to focus on what is good. Fix your mind on truth. And then he says something so crucial. Put it into practice. Walk it out. What are you putting into practice? Don't just hear the word. Don't just agree with it. Live it. And then that'll be something that changes you and the people around you, because we want them to see who we are and who we are created to be. But complacency is something that wants you to know the truth but keep you from applying it every single day. Contentment is thinking right and living right. You get to choose which one you're in. You get to walk in whatever one you choose. Listen, some of us are stuck not because we don't know the truth, but because we're not practicing it. And God is calling you right now. He's calling you today not to just cope through life, not to just have an it is what it is mentality. He wants you to thrive. He's calling you to grow and to move forward. Philippians 4, 10 through 14, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live with almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or with plenty or with little. Verse 13. For I can do everything in Christ, through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. This is one of the most well-known scriptures in all of Scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we misuse it or often misunderstand it. We apply it in an incorrect way to our lives. This verse is not telling you that you can achieve everything you want. This verse is telling us that it's about walking through and enduring all the things of life, not by yourself, but with Christ, with Him. That's what this verse is telling us. Paul's told us that he's learned to be content in whatever his circumstances have been. Contentment isn't automatic. It is learned. It is walked out. It's something you grow in and become stronger in. Paul tells us, I had plenty. I've had nothing. I've been full and I've been hungry. And all the while, he was content. Amen. Amen. And he tells us that he's learned the secret of life. And the secret's not self-sufficiency. The secret is Christ's sufficiency, him being enough. The world tells us, just be strong on your own. Just figure it out. Work harder. But Paul tells us your strength comes from Jesus, and you have, if you have Christ, you have everything already. And Paul gives us another example that some of us even miss. He stayed engaged with others no matter what his circumstances were. He stayed walking with people. He stayed connected with people. That is what contentment does. Complacency will isolate you. Complacency will keep you stagnant. Complacency will keep you stuck. But contentment connects you. Why? Because it depends on Christ. Complacency avoids effort in every single situation and causes us to withdraw, not push forward. So here's the question. Are you content? And what do we say where contentment starts? It starts at that cross. It starts with everything that he's done for us. It starts with you receiving the greatest gift that God's ever given you and walking in it. So maybe you're here today and you walked in here and you found out you're complacent. But you desire to be content. You desire to experience a peace that goes beyond all understanding in your life. You desire to be able to know that you can endure all things through Christ who gives you strength. So if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. Maybe you've received that gift before when you were younger or years ago and you tried to return it. Maybe it's time that you pick it back up. That you have that moment, that you know you've repented of your past, you've received his forgiveness, and you've called upon him as Lord to lead you into your future. I'm going to ask you to do something super brave. And that's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place where I've received you as my Lord and Savior, but I know I need it. Don't be worried about the people in front of you, behind you, beside you. This is a you and Jesus moment. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for every single person that is choosing contentment today. Lord, that is choosing to live a life that will rejoice and will pray and will focus on the truth and will depend on you, Jesus. Lord, I'm thankful that there are people in this place today that are breaking the spirit of complacency that's over their life, and they're not just going to live a I'll just get by life anymore. They're not going to live a life that's saying I won't or it won't change. They're not going to live a life anymore that says I don't want to grow or I won't grow or I can't grow beyond my current situation and circumstances. God, thank you that we know that if we have you, we have everything that we need. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for helping us grow in contentment and learn how to walk in that. Lord, continue to guard our hearts with your peace and strengthen us through your Son. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,